Dick of the Week is marked M for Mature. We talk about adult subjects and use crass language. Listener discretion is advised.
Dick of the Week.
Dick
of the Week.
Dick of the Week. Dick. Dick. Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week.
Dick of the Week.
Dick.
Dick of the Week.
Give me that D, yo.
Hi. Welcome to Dick of the Week part D. Your number one source for hot takes and whatever we want to talk about. I'm one of your hosts, Stephanie.
And I'm Liz.
And I'm Duchess.
Today we're going to be talking about some of our favorite romance novels, our favorite authors, books, whatever.
Yeah.
Favorites. It's a faves episode.
Favorites!
Welcome to the favorites!
Woohoo!
Am I starting with the favorites?
I think you are.
Oh, okay. So, I have a lot of favorites. Are we just doing favorites?
Let's start with authors.
Let's go, let's go.
Just, like, in general authors or romance authors?
Well, I only prepared for romance, but we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, also, like, the fact that you read more across genre, if you got favorite authors, just go ahead and say those, and when we get to books, you can hop on there.
It's just, like...
If you don't have, like, a favorite romance author, that's also fine.
I don't think I have a favorite romance author. There's, like, ones that I've read the most of.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I guess by default they're my favorite, but...
What was that?
I have read a ton of Laurel K. Hamilton. I think she was one of the authors who I was introduced into the world of erotica. Mm. Because her books are pretty sexy, but they're not... The first, like, part of the Anita Blake Vampire Hunter series are more like procedural cop with a bit of like sexual tension.
Oh, cool.
And I'm
Bones.
So I started reading that in high school. And then like the more books you read, the more it like escalates.
Sure.
So those are pretty great. And I've read like maybe 20 of those, a ton of them. It's a huge series. And then Patricia Briggs is really great. She's also like an urban fantasy shapeshifter-y romance novelist, where it's, like, more about the plot, but also very sexy. So I think those are probably my favorite romance people.
What are some just general authors you love?
General authors?
Or just anything.
I really love Anne Leckie right now. She's a sci-fi author who wrote Ancillary Justice and that whole series, which is just so good! You should read it, because it's so good! It's fantastic! Yeah, nobody.
What type of sci-fi is it? Like
space sci-fi.
Oh.
So it's like a whole different planet, and it's based on the point of view of one character. Everybody is referred to as she, but they have very clear like male or female characteristics. So while you're reading it, you're like, "What the hell is this?" And then like, oh, I think that person's a dude. I think, I don't know, but it's really good. And there's like a whole lot of plot, and I don't want to get into it because it's. Will give a lot of things away.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
It's really good, though.
Hashtag no spoilers.
Yeah.
For this one, it, like, blew my mind, the first one. So it was really good. And you should check it out if you want to read some sci-fi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't read any, like, solid sci-fi ever, really. We talk about this all the time with Good Morning Space America, like, different sci-fi things that we're into. And I feel like I'm always pulling on things like, I loved A Wrinkle in Time when I was little, but I feel like that's borderline more fantasy than sci-fi, but even still. But I don't, like, in my adult life, I don't know if I've ever read sci-fi.
Anne Leckie's really good. Octavia Butler
is,
like...
That's what Jordan... That's, like, my husband Jordan, he just... That's all he's been reading recently is, like... He just, like, went through all of her books. All
right.
Yeah. I had the same reaction to Parable of the Sowers as I did to, like, Ancillary Justice, which was just, like, completely floored and in love, and I inhaled it in, like, 3 or 4 days, which for me is very fast. But Philip K. Dick is also pretty solid sci-fi, and he does, like, the same sort of, like, punches.
Yeah.
Ursula K. Le Guin. There's a lot of them out there. They're really great.
There's that, Nima... I don't know. I've got this. Also, a girl I work with. It's fantasy. I guess it's more fantasy than sci-fi. But she's really into this book series that I just bought. And so, I don't read a lot of sci-fi either.
Yeah.
Because I do really read more romance and, like, have been on that trajectory. That and biographies are, like, my two... But I always, like, read the biographies of, like, salacious people, so there's gonna be sex. Like, that's... Those are, like, my two go-tos. I think my favorite... My favorite, like, romance writer... Right now, honestly, I don't have, like, a favorite. There's books I really enjoy.
And we'll get to that.
Yeah, because for me, a lot of times, I'll buy, like, a series and not even look at who wrote it and just burn through them and then just move on with my life. But, like, a lot of the... I'm just trying to think... Oh, yeah, mine are all favorite books, probably. My favorite authors are, like, Jane Austen, Kurt Vonnegut, and... There's always, like, a third that I usually say, and I can't think of the third one. But I think that sums up my personality pretty well. Jane Austen and Kurt Vonnegut. The cross-section of those two things. That's who I am as a person.
Yeah, I can see that. It's pretty well.
Yeah, that's pretty...
Oh, and I feel like that works with your Love and Lust in Improv Shop.
Yes. I do improv. I do, yeah. Well, and then I really enjoy, I'm trying to think author-wise, because I've read so many... There's so many... I got really into Hemingway for a while.
That's fair.
In, like, college, I got really into Hemingway. But then they got really depressing and I couldn't do it anymore. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know how many times I've read, like, The Bell Jar and stuff like that. I like that kind of writing. I guess I like writing that's more realistic and less, which is, like, I think why I don't read sci-fi as often. But it's weird that I do so much paranormal and urban fantasy, like, in my romance, because I truly, like, but the stuff I like, the reason I like urban fantasy is because sometimes it's, like, so just realistic outside of them shifting into other creatures.
Yeah. Sure.
That I'm really into that and seeing how you can make it just, like, slice of life even with fantastical, like, I decided to write a story with a werewolf accountant.
Because why not?
Because why not?
That kind of works, I think.
I don't know.
They're people.
They're half people. Or whole people. It depends on how you view the werewolf genre.
So, madam who has the whole list.
Yeah, she, like, you're prepared.
Who did your homework.
Well, like, I was really agonizing over, like, the authors that I like, and I'm just like, you know, I don't really read, I'm not loyalist when it comes to romance, I guess.
I am for a few people. But then I did, like you said, like, where I just, like, burned through an entire series. I was like, well, I guess that person gets to be on this list by default because, like...
You enjoyed all their books.
I enjoyed all their books. I burned through a series, which then led me to another series. Like,
I mean, I guess...
And I feel like who's your favorite blank is a huge question
Which is why I have a list.
Oh, well, right. You know, so I guess I will say on, like, on Wattpad, I do have, like, my friends that are on there. My friend Layla D, she wrote a book about a stripper that was, like, real nice. It was real good. She writes very in the vernacular and very just, like, it's very accessible. And yeah. I like when people write like that. And there's Layla, and then, basically everyone that I'm, like, friends with on that site, they all write pretty good romance. There's a reason I've become friends with them. But Layla's, the most recent book that I just finished was of hers. And it was called, oh, no.
You're on the spot.
You go ahead, do your thing.
All right, so.
I forgot that I could. Your I was phone's like thinking, right there. I was also thinking, like, public, like, you know, like. That's the kind of author I was just thinking about. And I forgot that I'm, like, friends with a bunch of people that write this, so.
Well.
And I enjoy their books.
And if you, you know, say their names or whatever, people can easily find, just as easily find them on Wattpad as people
yeah.
But if you, what, so you're, what's your name on Wattpad?
Stephanie Kazows.
So if you search for Stephanie Kazows.
Yeah, and then look at who I follow. It's pretty much everyone there I'm really into. I don't follow people that I don't enjoy their writing.
Well, duh.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
All right, so in terms of romance authors, the people that I, like, without a doubt will read their books, like, if they publish a new book, I'm buying it. Tessa Dare is my go-to girl. She is what really, really got me into romance novels in the past couple of years. She has a couple different series, but the one that, like, super... got me excited is her Spindle Cove series. Another person I have read and spent way too much money on buying her books is Christy Caldwell. Oh, and Tessa Dare does historical romance. Christy Caldwell also does historical. She has the Heart of a Duke series is one that I was super into. And then also her Sinful Brides, which I'm fairly new into. Lisa, I'm going to say her name incorrectly. Lisa Claypass has two series that I, like, devoured and then got some other friends into her Wallflower series and her Hathaway series, another historical. I'm doing all my historical first and then going into my contemporary.
Her list is organized.
Yeah, mine was just like, who do I think of right now? Right now. That was it.
Sarah McLean has the series The Rules of Scoundrels, and not only is that one of my favorite series, but it follows one of my favorite, like, not tropes, but, like, categories within it, because it takes place and it focuses on a gaming hell, and I'll get to my favorite things within romance
novels. A gaming hell?
So, in historical romance novels, because every time I mention a gaming hell to my husband, he's like, what? It's pretty much, like, the clubs that the dudes went to, that they gambled at, and they played their games, and they drank too much, and there was normally, you know, women there that they can utilize and whatnot, but they, yeah,
they, utilize,
right.
Well,
it's a good way to say that,
they're referred to as gaming hells, and, yeah, so, Sarah McLean has a series, that takes place in a gaming hell, and it's the four different owners of it. So each book focuses on one of the different people that own that location. And I love it. And then, shockingly, one of my favorite romance novelists, there we go, romance authors, is a man. Which...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I remember you telling us.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it, but it's not... weird? Is it written from the female perspective or male perspective?
Well, his name is J.D. Hawkins, and he's one of the dude. I actually found him because of Kindle Unlimited, and most of his books focus around, like, a very, like, alpha-centric dude.
Mm-hmm.
He is one of the... Because contemporary novels, a lot of times, like, one chapter will be from one person's point of view, and the other will be from... Like, so one's from the female, the other, like, another chapter's from a male. So he jumps perspective. It's not all from the dude. But he says, like, pretty much all of his editors and, like, beta readers and all that are females. Like, he uses a lot of women to, like, make sure his woman perspective doesn't feel weird.
So it comes off as sounding, like, more natural than, like...
I think so. Like, because I feel like I've read books before that I'm like, if this isn't a man who's pretending to be a woman writing this, then, like, I'd be really surprised. Mm-hmm. Because it just feels not realistic from the woman point of view at all.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with this, I feel like you get, like, on a really genuine male perspective, which is difficult to do. But his woman side of it also is pretty solid. So I always enjoy reading his books. If you're not into alpha males, then you wouldn't be into his books. But, like, it's normally the type, like, they're alpha males who also have, like, a soft side to them. Like, so it's not...
Wait, they're dimensional?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Right.
I don't believe it.
So they're not like total bro bros. You're just like, ugh, get away. You're the worst. and then a couple other authors that I like pretty much stalk on Kindle Unlimited to like make sure I'm reading all their books. Is Eve Jagger. And she has this one series called The Sexy Bastards, The Sexy Bastards, and they're a bunch of dudes who own a bar together. So there's a pattern I have here. Dudes who own bars and gaming hells and things along those lines, no matter what time period it is. I'm super
Liz
into.
Liz likes to party.
And then this other person, Piper Rain. But yeah, those are some of my authors. There's a bunch of them. Yeah, so
I'm going to give another shout out to Diana Gabaldon, which I'm pretty sure I'm pronouncing it right that time, who does the Outlander series, which is super fantastic. And I definitely have a lady crush on her because she's a biologist who just like randomly thought about writing a romance novel one time and showed it to her, one of her friends. And they're like, oh my God, this is really good. You should get it published. And it is a huge thing now. So
no, seriously. All right. So listeners, there's a book I'm obsessed with that's called Dangerous Books for Girls, The Bad Reputation of Romance Novels Explained. And I was actually, a part that I was looking at earlier today was talking about all these romance authors who have, like, this really high education. Like, they went to Harvard, Yale, Oxford, you know, not only undergrad, master's degrees, PhDs, and not only just writing, but, like you were saying, like, biology or whatever degree they might have, like these really highly educated women who just really enjoy writing romance, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really like, I feel like romance novels are a secret way to really empower, like right now they're kind of secret, I guess maybe not secret, but like they're just a way to empower women into finding their own sexuality and expressing themselves and stuff, which I'm all about because that's fantastic.
Also, it is fantastic.
I'm like creating characters that you actually can relate to versus characters created by men most of the time that you cannot relate to. Because like when you watch movies and TVs, a good, I mean, I forgot the percentage of female writers in the room, you know, are, it's very small.
Yeah.
So when you're watching movies and TV, a lot of times you don't see women that actually play true, like you were talking about with even just books, like. But now, with romance novels, it's predominantly women writing them.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of irks me, though, is, like, when there are men that write it, somehow they get more popular, like, on the Wattpad site. The couple dudes that write that I know of have, like, so many more followers. And it's not that their books aren't good. I'm not saying that. But it's just, like, their books aren't any better than some of the female.
But because
they're a
man. Dude, they
so they're just,
out.
Like, a...
Yeah.
Like a token guy, they become really popular.
It's very
weird.
Which
is really strange.
It's so weird. And I mean, like, the one I'm thinking about in particular, like, his books are pretty raunchy and pretty explicit. I like them.
Oh, so did he do it well?
He does. So he writes, it's very much from the masculine perspective. But that's how my sexuality aligns anyway. So it's like alpha males, and it's like also just like very almost dirty sex.
Yeah.
Without bordering into, like, BDSM or whatever. So I think it's finely written.
Yeah.
If you will. I don't think it's any better than some of the other things I'm reading that have more emotional pull.
Sure.
So, like, that's part of, like, I just get confused sometimes. I'm just like, why is this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think,
yeah.
Like, we were talking about Lady Chatterley's Lover
mm-hmm.
last episode, and I think one of the reasons I hated it so much, I didn't hate it, but it was just, like, made me roll my eyes a whole lot.
Yeah.
It was because it was written by a dude, D.H. Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
and Lady Chatterley is just such a non-character person.
Yeah.
Like, she's just a pushover, and I don't know. Just characters like that just make me roll my eyes, because it's like, people are not like that.
Yeah.
Even the most pushovery people are not like that.
Well, that's like, I feel like even this guy who, I mean, I like his books, admittedly, he writes the same female opposite.
Mm.
Except for one time, he did write a woman who was like, so I'm thinking about the books. Like, none of the, except for outside of one, which is more like it's set in high school. All of the characters are not virgins, per se, but a lot of them are very, like, vanilla and, like, haven't really, like, claimed their sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So the male protagonist gets to show them the way or whatever.
Yes.
And I don't... And it's fine, but when you realize that there's a pattern to all the books like that...
Mm-hmm.
One of the books is great because it has a female lead who's, like, unstable, like, completely unstable... And she's a hussy. It's great. Like, total whore. It's great. And I love that one. That's my favorite one. And ironically, that's the one with the least views.
Huh.
Like, ironically, the one that I think is actually the best of his books.
I feel like your perspective of, like,
really great, awesome things on my pad doesn't match up with,
it
like,
the rest of everybody else.
Because...
You're not wrong.
I feel like you're coming... I'm not going to go down that pathway.
I come from a very, like, intersectional feminist perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm reading a book, it's not enough to play lip service to having a strong female character. Be like, she's strong because she's obstinate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because
that's
not
strength, actually.
Yeah, that's just...
That's a personality trait.
That's just being stubborn.
Yeah,
like
that's not strength, necessarily. So when you can... one of the other side of, like, a man writing a woman's character, I wrote a short story from the male perspective, and I just wrote it like my husband.
That's hilarious.
Oh my god, I bet that's really great.
And it's set in post-Civil War times. it's also werewolf.
Is pretend Jordan a werewolf?
He is.
Oh, good.
Well, this guy, though, but he's been scorned by his lady love.
Oh.
But writing that, I've gotten such good feedback on it from, like, writing a man that just has, like, feelings.
Men don't have feelings.
No, they
They're
don't.
Not allowed to have feelings.
Right.
They've got to just not cry or show any emotion ever.
God.
But
I feel like in a lot of romance novels, if he would just show emotion, that would be the end of the story.
That's all she's looking
for.
Right?
Or if they just communicated.
Right? Which
like one
is
conversation.
Part of, like...
Like, maybe if you don't just both go fucking crazy for a second and just talk to each other.
Right? Just talk about your expectations.
80% of this book wouldn't need to happen.
Right. Also, the trying to make someone else jealous thing, I just don't get it as a trope.
Nah.
Because... The only time I've ever done that is to make an ex-boyfriend feel miserable. It's never been, like, to get a guy I try
oh,
to...
Oh, no, it's always to shove
rub
it in an ex's face.
And
my
goddamn
personal
stupid
experience,
face.
Making other people feel jealous has horribly backfired with me being miserable and alone.
Right.
And also making them feel miserable, and that's
right.
just...
But they always use it as, like, a catalyst for, like, oh, this is the guy wising up. He realizes that some other person could have his shiny toy.
She's not a shiny toy!
That's like, how they treat... Well, that's how the jealousy game plays out in these books.
Yeah.
Right.
The woman leverages herself as a shiny toy. Which is, like, in one of my books that I'm currently writing, I have her go on a date with another man. It's not to make him jealous, though, because she doesn't know he's gonna be there. It's so that she can get laid.
That's fair. That's not making somebody jealous.
No.
That's just, like...
I'm gonna get mines.
Up and like, yeah.
I'm gonna get mines.
Which is important.
That's the, I feel like it could be the hashtag to any of my books. I'm gonna get mines.
Yep. Yep. Have you guys read any books recently that you're super into? Or even not even necessarily recently, but like go-to ones?
Yes, I did.
So I have a habit of reading books and getting rid of them and then thinking about them and buying them again later. No, I definitely just buy them again. And there was a series... I think it's called Women of the Other World, and it's by Kelly Armstrong, and the first one is called Bitten. It's a paranormal, werewolfy romance, but I definitely have bought and rebought that book at least 3 times.
That's hilarious.
It's just, you know, you feel like you're done with these books, and then I reread books, and
mm-hmm.
I'm not ashamed of that.
Oh, I reread them.
And I know there's a lot of books out in the world, but I'll definitely go back to my favorites.
There was this one called Perfect Storm. It was about a rugby player. It was great. It's on Wattpad. Perfect Storm is one that I finished recently.
I actually just read a bunch of rugby books.
Rugby books are good. This one was great. There was a lot of turmoil and emotion. That's a common theme for the books I will recommend. The other book that I just finished... Oh, there's this great series by Morgan Ryder, and so... She writes, it's called Lexi's Promise, and I'm not going to spoil it, but if you pay attention, you'll catch on to what she's doing by, like, chapter 5, and then they spill the beans. It's basically Greek mythology.
Mm.
Oh, that's fun.
It's super fun, and it's a whole series, and she's writing spinoffs of it. Then there is, what's the name of that book? Oh, there's this woman I found, and it's her first book, and she posted it on Wattpad, and she was, you know, pursuing... writing, M.M.M. Martin, there she is, and the name of that book, this is also on Wattpad, it's called Local Flavor, and it's about a woman who's trying to save her family's restaurant, and she goes on a cooking show, And her and the chef fall in love.
That's adorable. I love it.
It's so super and there's cute. Like there's like realistic conflict. It makes sense.
I need to read that.
Yeah, it's really nice. It's on my. I think I put it on my. If it's not on my completed favorites list, I'll have to update that. But I'll try to post links to all the things I reference below. Then there's a writer called Julie Midnight on Wattpad, and all of her books are. They are. It's urban fantasy, I would say, because I mean, there's like wolves and magic and stuff. But she writes with so much emotion, and also the sex is real dirty and, like, raunchy. It's real good. Like, seriously.
That's the best kind.
If you don't get a stirring from her books, there's something wrong with your downstairs, is all I'm going to say about that. Those are the most recent ones I've finished. Oh, Lola Sway. That was the name of the book that I was trying to figure out earlier by my friend Layla.
You're talking about the one, which, Local Flavors, is that?
Local Flavor.
Local Flavor.
Yeah.
There's a book I got for Christmas, I think last year, that I super enjoyed called Food Whore.
Mm.
And it had just, like, I'm such a foodie. Like, I love food. I love going to restaurants and trying new things. My husband and I enjoy doing, like, Blue Apron and things like that, where we cook things that we're not normally cooking and all that. I just love food. So a book that was about someone who loves food and cooking and all that, and also romance, I was mm-hmm. super into it. But so that's Food Whore, and that was by Jessica Tom. But that was even on my list. You just made me think about it.
Yeah.
But a book I got super obsessed with, it's such a dumb title, but it's called Let's Get Textual. Which I can't even say without giggling. But Let's Get Textual.
It sounds like you're a teenager making a joke at my expense.
I know. I know.
That's how I feel right now.
It's by Tegan Hunter. But it was one of those books that, like, there really wasn't a ton of conflict for the majority of it. And at the time, I'd read so many books where there was just so much stupid conflict. So, like, this is kind of nice. All right, so one of the other people I forgot to mention before, but I've been obsessed with her probably since I've been, like, 13 or 14 and still read her stuff to this day, is Meg Cabot, which most people know her as the author of The Princess Diaries, but I was madly obsessed with her Mediator series.
Same.
But past that, I love her more, like, adult fiction that she writes, and but also will still read her young adult fiction that she writes. I, like, it has been my lifelong dream. Like, I want to be Meg Cabot. Like, that is what I want to be. I want to write books like that. But yeah.
I've got one more.
Yeah, do it.
Recently on Wattpad, I finished a book called Don't Remember Me. Actually, it's still going. There's still chapters being posted. But it's almost over, I think. She's only a couple more chapters left, she said. It's super great. It's historical. It's like Jane Austen-y, but cooler. She's S.C. Violet, Sarah Lane is her name. She's wonderful. I think she's got like 22 published stories on Wattpad right now.
Damn.
So there's lots to read, and she writes in different genres. This was actually her first historical fiction piece. So I haven't dived in too much to her other books, but they're well received.
That's
so
awesome.
And her writing is very clean and nice and detailed. It's enjoyable.
So, since I like sci-fi, just, like, in general, I'm trying to find some sci-fi romance, and one of the ones that I found that I really enjoyed is A Baby for the Alien Prince, which I know I've talked to you guys about, and it doesn't sound nearly as weird as the title leads you to believe, because there's no, like, pregnancy sex, which I was misled, and I was kind of looking for the weird stuff.
That's a big trope right now. Well, that's another episode. That's the next episode.
That's another one.
Yeah.
But it was super good, and it's like a woman was kind of transplanted to this different planet as a mail order bride type of deal, and they didn't speak the same language, and they just had to like create a relationship without any language. So it was actually really nice as a relationship building sort of thing, and also the sex was pretty hot. So I really like that one. It was a plus. And there's one I was reading, Dark Planet Warriors by Anna Carvin. Oh, and Baby for the Alien Prince was written by Miranda Martin. But Dark Planet Warriors is the one I'm reading now. And I'm hoping it turns out just as well. So far, I'm like a couple pages in. It's pretty good.
I finished a book today, like, to the point, like, I was saying, like, my husband kept trying to talk to me, and I was reading my Kindle, and I was, like, at, like, 97%.
Mm-hmm.
And I just could be like, would you please just shut up? Like, I'm so close to finishing this. Like,
it's always when you're in that last 2% that they want to get chatty. They've been playing Overwatch all day.
But or, now you're or Stardew Valley. Or yeah. He was asleep, so I was like, I'm going to get, and I get out of bed and go read, and he's going to, like, slowly wake up for the day, and then, like, decides to talk 100 miles per minute. I love you, husband, but Jesus, I just wanted to finish this book. Because I was super into it, and I was excited because I've been, like, I had a book that I was reading that I told you all about that was just shit,
mm-hmm.
and I don't normally give up on books, and I gave up on this one at 17% on the book.
Oh my god, that's like so early!
It sounded like it super deserved it.
No, yeah, that's true.
It's super deserved.
I don't want to shit on any authors or books out there, but honest to god, I feel like I should say what it was, because, like, but the thing is, on Goodreads, it had, like, a super high...
You can't trust Goodreads.
You can't trust Goodreads.
Some, it doesn't normally steer me this wrong,
it's
though.
Led me astray.
I feel super snobby about this, but whenever anybody suggests a book to me, it's just like, really? I don't trust you. Unless it's somebody I know really well, and even then, it's like,
right.
I don't trust your opinion on books.
Right.
But yeah, so this one that I was reading, and it was super... And it could be because I was coming off such a horrible, horrible book that I couldn't get past 17% of. But it was called hashtag Starstruck. I'm sorry, I can't even, like...
You're trolling us, I feel like. This is all jokes.
No, but the funny thing is...
I don't know, that sounds great.
No, okay, so...
It's when I read it, absolutely.
Did I tell you guys about the Starcross TV show I found on Netflix that is Romeo and Juliet,
mm-hmm.
but aliens?
Mm-hmm.
It's super bad, I love it.
But this book was... I mean, it starts off because of a Twitter... back and forth between, like, a regular girl and, like, her favorite actor.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, her tweet stands out to him because his tweet was something along the lines, like, whatever new movie of his, like, is this your favorite, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, nah, you've had better. And everyone else was like, oh my god, I love you, have my babies, it's so good, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no, you kind of sucked in this one. You've done better. And so he started responding to her, and it just kind of, like, went back and forth, and eventually led to them, like, direct DMing each other, and then end up happenstance meeting each other.
Is that what DM stands for, is direct mention?
Yeah.
Or direct message.
Oh, okay.
That's old school shit.
Somebody's good at the computer bits.
Yeah.
It used to be PMs, private message.
Oh, it used to be PMs?
Yeah, that's what you used to call it.
Well,
when you're in AOL chat rooms.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
ASL? I just know that one.
Yeah.
That's it.
Good pull. Good pull, Grace.
You know, I'm good at this.
I love it.
So, anywho, but it was kind of fun because, like, I guess it's kind of a Cinderella story sort of thing.
Right.
But, like,
it is.
But, yeah, it was fun.
My favorite, can we move to the favorite book? Because I have a favorite. I do have
you
a favorite.
You have an absolute favorite.
You have,
favorite.
Like, an actual just
favorite
singular.
Romance.
Yeah. Oh, favorite romance? Okay.
Yeah, no, not book, period.
I was going to say,
you've
damn,
seen how many books
damn.
I've read. No. My favorite romance book is Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife. It is a Pride and Prejudice sequel. It's, like, one of the most official ones. I don't know how it's the most official. I just know it has the most sales. So, a great story about this book. In high school, I had a very terrible, terrible upbringing. And my dad had found out that I was going to go to Truman and had told me that after the day after graduation, I had to be out of the house. And so, the week that happened, I didn't have another phone card to call my mom because I didn't have a cell phone until college. So I used phone cards to call my mom because she lived out of state. And one of my best friends, Katie, she bought me a phone card, Us Weekly, candy, and this book, Mr. Darcy Takes a Wife. Because she had read it and she loved it. And it is super smutty. I mean, there's, like, a scene where, like... Okay, but I'm going to end the nice story, and then I'll tell you the gross parts. So this book already had sentimental value to me, and I love Pride and Prejudice, and that's why she got it for me.
Yeah.
So, I read the book, and, like, my friend Katie's a sweet, sweet, sweet girl. Sweet, sweet, sweet girl. We have, like, talked about sex in, like, the funniest ways. Like, never... There's a scene in this book where they have sex in, like, the bathroom before the ball. I guess it's not a bathroom back then, but, like,
in the powder room. Sure.
So she had, like, already bathed for the night, and actually already had put her dress on. And he's like, you're so beautiful, and they bang, and he tells her not to clean up, because he wants to know that that's dripping, and her, like, this doesn't sell it really well, but, like...
That's pretty dirty, though.
It's like, very dirty, and, like, so, but the thing about it is, she feels so... She's, like, because he was so standoffish, right? Mm-hmm. But this Darcy's such the other side of Darcy. It's just the perfect... It's exactly how you'd expect someone so standoffish to be in the bedroom.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. But knowing that my sweet, 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 sweet angelic friend had read this and thought...
She read it and then gave it to
Stephanie says so much about our friendship and about just us as people. But it's so good. The beginning of it is, you know, heavy passion, and then they get married, and then he becomes cold and distant in the first chapter, and she's like, doesn't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you come to find out because he just wants to bone, and he just feels so uncomfortable. He doesn't want to scare her. Because she is a virgin, and he doesn't want to scare her. And he's, like, ready to go.
That's so delightful.
So the book is just them learning each other and, like, her coming to grips with the fact that he's had, like, mistresses before because he never really intended to take a wife. And so he has this experience. And then him being so excited about being with her that he wants to show her all the things he can do. But then having to explain why he knows how to do those things bites him in the ass. And that's, like, I think that was the part that sells me in the book is, like, he goes down on her or something. And she's like, you know, enraptured. She, like, is like, oh, so wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, how did you learn how to do that? And then it dawns on her. And then his ego and wanting to be good at being a lover shoots him in the foot, and they get in, like, an awkward spat. So that's the book, is then, like, learning how to, like, deal with that. And then there's a great thing because his old mistress actually plays a role in the story, in the end of the story. Because, of course, Wickham comes back and... It's so fun. It's, like, so fun. If you love Jane Austen and you love smut, it's, like, the perfect...
I know. I need to... You let me borrow it, and I need to read it.
I'll find the author let me look up the author.
Okay. Are we gonna have show notes? Because we can put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put in the show notes. Yeah, okay. That sounds good.
Cool. Perfect.
Because otherwise, I mean, I guess...
Did you have, like, a favorite of something that you wanted to tell you?
I don't have just a favorite, but I can talk about my first romance novels.
Linda Burdell.
Burdell.
I'm gonna have to put it in a note. I'm sorry.
Because this other thing, timing wise, but whatever.
That's fine.
One thing it would be kind of fun, like, have any of you been into, like, a certain thing recently? Like, I've been on a huge Irish kick.
Mm.
Like, I've been wanting to read, for whatever reason, I guess because we're getting closer to St. Paddy's, but I just want to read.
Isn't that, like, in March?
Okay.
For Liz, January is close.
Okay. Yeah.
But also, when this airs, this is going to be pretty close to St. Pat's. But yes,
that's fine.
In my life, when Christmas music ends, Irish music starts.
Okay. Sure. Okay, but I do want to talk about my first romance novel. Do you have a first romance novel? Okay, so mine... you're taking too long. Mine, I read it when I was... In sixth grade, I think. I don't know how old I was in that. That's math. But 12. It was about... Sure. A riverboat captain in Missouri. I know! this is like one
is this
that...
like Mark Twain smite?
No! I don't have a title. I don't have an author. This is just like vague memories.
Yeah.
But it was... A woman was raped and got pregnant, so her dad, like, married her off to the first guy eligible, which happened to be a riverboat captain, and it was them figuring out each other and how to be with each other because they were stuck.
Yeah.
And she was gonna have a baby, so they were like, well, we gotta make the best of this. And they ended up falling in love, of course.
It's sort of a marriage of convenience.
Yeah, but there was, like, a whole... Since she had such a traumatic experience, it was him being really gentle with her and letting her figure out how to be with him. So there was a lot of cowgirl because she didn't like to be pressed down.
That's fair.
Which is what I remember about it, and yeah.
That sounds super...
It was super good.
Did you understand all this in sixth grade?
Yeah, I got it.
Wow.
So my parents were pretty, like...
Your parents are hella, like, open.
Yeah, they didn't, like, I feel like I knew what sex was when I was pretty young. And also, I have two older brothers, like.
Yeah.
I got information from weird places. But no, if any of you listeners have any idea what that book was, I would love to know, because it opened so many doors for me, and I just have no idea what it was, but it was really great, and I loved it.
We gotta do some research for Duchess.
Yeah.
I don't know if I have...
It was set in Missouri. I don't know if that happens. Or it matters.
I don't know if I have... If I can remember, like, what my first romance novel is, but I know for a fact that, like, in terms of smut, like, smuttier things, most of that I got initially from, like, reading smutty fan fiction. Like, I would purposely, like, click the mature...
Ooh.
And, like, read the fan fiction for... Mediator, or for Phantom of the Opera, or
Harry
for
Potter
a while.
Fanfic was my jam.
I would sometimes use the Harry Potter fanfiction. I got really into, like, smutty Hunger Games stuff.
Really?
For a little bit.
Those kids would totally be boning.
Oh hell yeah.
In the Alliances, they're gonna
die.
They're
so poor.
They're gonna die.
Yeah.
The kids in the arena would be boning. I mean, I'm just saying.
Oh, no, yeah, everybody would be boning.
Board, especially...
Like,
nah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're hungry? You have sex.
You know what? And you don't have money for activities.
Yeah, absolutely. They're poor and they're hungry. They're just gonna bone.
I feel like when I was poor, I definitely had more sex. Money gives you comforts. You know?
You just bask in your money and that will give you pleasure.
Right. I also was younger, so that probably has something to do with it also.
I mean, that's probably a bit more accurate.
I want to attribute it to the poverty that I was in.
That's a little column A, a little column B.
Yeah.
I think that's it for this episode, yes?
All right, here's my pickup line for the day. Can I follow you home? Because my parents always told me to follow my dreams.
Oh, Lord. That's terrifying. That's
I
like
just,
soccer
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I don't want that.
No, thanks.
I don't want that.
Hard pass.
Nope.
Thanks for listening. We would love to hear from you, so contact us at lnlsmutcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at lnlsmutcast. Find episodes of this and other great shows at calamitycast.com or wherever you find your podcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of Dick of the Week!